Amen. It was John G. Butler, and he has a tremendous volumes written on Bible characters, the life of Christ, the miracles, the parables of Christ, the second coming of Christ, and right from the Old to the New Testament, he has a tremendous series of volumes of books written on character studies, and he has a tremendous book on the life of Hezekiah. But it was John G. Butler who said, I quote, "Few sermons have been preached and far less books written on the life of Hezekiah, and yet the Lord has given him a prominent place in Holy Scripture." Unquote. Large sections of the Bible, it is true, are given over to the life of Hezekiah. You have 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles, even the book of Isaiah gives him a lengthy mention in Holy Scripture. And when you consider the amount of Scripture that's given over to the life of Hezekiah, it's any wonder John G. Butler was a little aggrieved that when he came to study the life and character of Hezekiah, very few sermons have been preached on him and very few books have been written about him. And we want to say, in fact, in the life of Hezekiah, God puts large emphasis and much by way of the record in Holy Scripture concerning this man's life. Therefore, we feel it is only right and proper for us to look at this man, to preach on this series, because God has given such attention to Hezekiah in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles and in the book of Isaiah as well. And we find that Hezekiah was one of those good and godly kings of Judah. In fact, the only kings to have more written about them in Holy Scripture are David and Solomon. Now think of that. The only kings in all of the Old Testament to have more in Scripture written about them are David and Solomon. And then coming in third and close behind is Hezekiah. And it's an awful shame that there's not more preaching and more books on the life of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was the 12th of the 19 kings of Judah. Rehoboam was the first king of Judah whenever the nation split after the reign of Solomon. And really, we say that Hezekiah was the 19th king. He was the 13th ruler. But remember, there was a wicked queen, Athaliah, who also ruled over the nation, the southern kingdom of Judah. But he's the 9th, it's the 12th king, but the 13th ruler over the nation of Judah. Now, if you remember, the nation of Judah was what is known as the southern kingdom. What was known as the nation of Israel was divided in the days of Rehoboam. Rehoboam listened to the younger men and didn't take the advice of the senior men, who would have eased the burden upon the people of God and would have united the nation. But he increased the burden and he split the kingdom. And Jeroboam rebelled, took 10 of the tribes with him, forming the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom. And the other two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, formed what is known as the southern kingdom, Jerusalem or Judah. And so you recognize that these two nations, these two kingdoms really should have been one. And there was such division that they were divided. And you'll find that God favored the southern kingdom over the northern kingdom. And it was said of the southern kings, not them all, that they did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But you'll never find a single record in Holy Scripture that any king ruling over the northern 10-tribe nation kingdom, ever it was said of them, they did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. In fact, it was said of them, they did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, not all the kings and the queen that ruled over the nation of Judah, the southern kingdom, that it was said of them, I think only about 9 or so out of the 20 rulers that ruled over that kingdom, about 9 or so, most certainly have not only did that which was right, but God even went further, and Hezekiah was in that number. God commended them for their reign. Israel was called Samaria, and it was also called Ephraim. So when you read in Scripture in the Old Testament and you're reading about Israel and Samaria and Ephraim, it's the same 10 state nation. And when you read about Judah and Jerusalem, you're talking about the two state kingdom, the southern kingdom, Judah and Benjamin, the only two tribes that made up that southern kingdom. Can I say to you that Saul and David and Solomon were the only kings to have ruled over all Israel. Now I know that David did reign for a little season, for 7 years in Hebron, over the two-state nation of Judah. We know that. We recognize that David did rule over that little kingdom. But that was in the days whenever the kingdom wasn't necessarily divided. It was only those two tribes that rallied around David until he united the entire nation after the death of King Saul. However, it seems that the best kings reigned over Judah, the southern kingdom, and the Lord favoured that kingdom, and God honoured and blessed that kingdom, even though it was smaller and more weaker and insignificant than the northern kingdom. They were mightier, and they certainly had more fighting men, and they had better equipment, and yet God gave them over because of their idolatry. And time and time and time again, they followed in the footsteps of their first ruler, who was Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, a wicked despot, an evil individual who caused Israel to sin. And God never forgave, and God never forgot the sins of Jeroboam. And the nation of Israel, Samaria and Ephraim suffered continually, even till these very chapters when we read of the siege for 3 years around the northern kingdom. And no doubt Hezekiah, knowing that the Assyrian army were around the 10 state kingdom and that had taken it and besieged it for 3 years and then taken it and brought them to the borders of Assyria, and then they took them away in captivity, and then they targeted Hezekiah. He was in fear, knowing that already greater nations, and then his brother nation in Israel, Samaria and Ephraim, had been taken into captivity. And yet he sought the Lord, he honoured God, and God preserved him. Hezekiah most certainly was one of those great kings who ruled well for the Lord. And over the next few weeks, as the Lord gives me help, I want to look at some aspects of the life and reign of King Hezekiah. I want you to consider, first of all, in this study, the details concerning his character. Because Scripture gives us some of the finest details concerning this man. Scripture doesn't paint, as the artist would, a picture that's not correct. You see people today and you will see their portrait. All the blemishes will be taken out. You could paint a picture today that has a likeness of a person, but doesn't paint them warts and all. But in Holy Scripture, when the Lord puts upon the canvas of Holy Scripture, he paints us warts and all. And therefore we have fine details concerning the life and character of Hezekiah. And God placed them on Holy Scripture in order that you and I might study them and be challenged by them and inspired to holy and high and godly living in these wicked days. And you've got to remember, that's exactly what happened. And when you think about this, the king following Hezekiah was Manasseh. We heard about that. That's his son. And Manasseh was wicked. And the king preceding the reign of Hezekiah was his father Ahaz. And Ahaz was wicked. And yet stuck between those two evil, wicked kings was a godly young man. And therefore I want to say to you that in the family there is no excuse. Well, this one's not saved and that one's not saved. And this one is godless and that one is atheistic. And therefore it's impossible for me to live as a Christian. Well, Hezekiah's life does not teach us that. In fact, it shows us the opposite is true, and that some of the greatest godly men and women of God are sandwiched between the ungodliness of two generations. And out of that unholy affinity and alliance comes forth a godly man or woman, a choice child of God, one who lives for Christ and honours the Lord and pleases God. So there's no excuse. Your environment, your circumstances do not have to dictate the type of Christian you are. In fact, God placing you there and saving you in that has done it for a reason, that you might be a better Christian, that you might see the wickedness and the evil and avoid it, knowing what it has done to others. That's exactly what you have here in the life of Hezekiah. The details concerning his character. Now tell me, what marks out men and women for God in this wicked world? What marks them out? I'll tell you what it does, what it is. Their testimony. The way they live. It's not what they say. It's what they do that speaks volumes. It's not that they run around saying, I'm a good person, I'm a Christian, I'm born again, I'm saved, I'm redeemed, I'm going to heaven. It's nothing like that at all. Well, you may have that assurance, and we should have that. It's the life that counts. Not the words, not the lips, not your profession as such. It's your life that really shows what you are. What we see in your life really is a reflection of what's inside and what's going on in your heart. What marks men and women, young people, boys and girls out for God is their testimony before a godless world. It's not their wealth. It's not their talents. It's not their position in society. It is their love and their devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Such individuals stand out. Their head and shoulders above others around them because they belong to the Lord. They're unashamedly Christian and unapologetically they're Bible-based, and they believe the word of God and they obey it. And they're zealous for the honor and glory of God in their life, and they want to give as best as they can, and we'll fail miserably at times, I know. We want to bring glory and honor to Christ and not besmirch the testimony of the Lord. Hezekiah was such a man. Therefore, we will learn from him, and we should learn from him. He was a king who had a godly and a holy character. I want you to think of the details of this man's character. I want you to think, firstly, he was honored. Hezekiah from his birth was highly favored. Now you've got to see this. I want to bring you back to his dad, Ahaz, a wicked man. Now Ahaz worshipped an idol, a false god called Molech. Molech, according to the Bible and history, Molech worship demanded that you take your children, and you offered your children to Molech, and you burnt them alive. Now, did you get that? Ahaz worshipped Molech, and it was said of Ahaz that he burnt his children in the fire to Molech. But God honored Hezekiah. God preserved this man's life. Why was he not offered with his brothers or his sisters? Because God preserved him. And therefore he was honored. And I want to tell you, Hezekiah could have been offered to Molech. He could have been burned alive by his dad, Ahaz. For that's what Ahaz did. And you'll read about that in 2 Chronicles chapter 28 verses 1 to 3. And it says, Ahaz, his father, worshipped false god and an imaginary god, a false god called Molech. And he caused his children to pass through the fire. That means they were burned alive and offered as a living sacrifice on the altar and burnt to death. Imagine the screams of those children. Well, that's what Ahaz did. But for some reason, and we know the reason, because God had saved this young man, and even in an ungodly home with wickedness going on, he was untouched. Now, do you see that? Young person, I don't know what kind of home that I'm talking to you about. It may be a godly home. It may be an ungodly home. I don't know. But I want to tell you, you can be saved and you can live for the Lord in that home. It doesn't matter whether the home is godly or ungodly. It doesn't matter whether it's divided with a parent saved and an unsaved parent. You can live for the Lord in that home that you're in. And God will preserve you. And He will keep you. And you can live among the ungodly in university. And you can live among the ungodly in college and in the schoolroom. And God will honour you. And He will preserve you. Can I say something else? What a mercy from God that was, by the way. We have to acknowledge that. Can I also say, not only was he honoured in his home, but he was honoured as king. Do you remember Sennacherib came up against Judah? Remember it came against that southern kingdom? And they surrounded it and besieged it. Then they mocked the God of heaven. Then they says, don't you listen to Hezekiah telling you to trust in your so-called God Jehovah? The gods of the other nations couldn't help them. Why would your God defeat us? Our gods are more powerful than yours. Now just surrender. Don't listen to Hezekiah and all the nonsense that he's talking. You just come out and surrender. In fact, put Hezekiah to death. Throw him over the wall. We'll treat you well. Can I tell you something? He survived an attack from Sennacherib, king of Assyria. Even though Hezekiah and Judah were smaller and weaker than Sennacherib and the Assyrian army, and they'd already taken the northern kingdom, they'd already taken greater nations, and they were on the march to conquer the world if they possibly could, and the Assyrian kingdom was being advanced. Do you know that its capital was Nineveh? And what a city that was, we'll not go into detail. But Assyria was one of the superpowers. It's a bit like America or China or Russia coming against Northern Ireland, besieging us at our borders, ready to take our little province. That's what we're looking at here, the Assyrian army gathering round Jerusalem. You've got to see the context here. This man, Hezekiah, was honoured because of his godly living. Because of his love for the Lord, he was preserved from the fires of Moloch. And he was preserved as well from the attack, the murderous attack of Sennacherib. And God delivered Hezekiah when one angel was commissioned to leave heaven. And he slew in one night 185,000 of the Assyrian army. And when they rose in the morning and looked over the battlements of Jerusalem, they saw a sea of blood. And the Assyrian army, 185,000 of them, killed in one night by one single angel. I want to tell you, the Lord can preserve you. And he can watch over you. And he survived, furthermore, a serious and a deadly sickness. And the Lord added 15 years onto his life. Did you know that? Hezekiah was said to have reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. He started to reign when he was 25. He reigned 29 years. But I want to tell you something. 15 of those years were actually added on to his life. He only should have reigned, if my miles is correct here, doing it in my head. He should have only have reigned 14 years and then died of this sickness. But he sought the Lord and God heard his prayer and saw his tears. And the Lord added 15 years to his life. So he was preserved again from sickness. In other words, this man survived the fires of Moloch. He survived a serious murderous attack by Sennacherib and the Assyrian army. And God preserved him. And he survived a serious and a deadly sickness. And the Lord added to his life 15 more years in answer to his prayers. And even in the latter part of his life, Hezekiah, he also survived, I believe, an intervention of God that would have wiped him out. Because in the latter part of his life, he was filled with a bit of pride. And he showed off his wealth and his kingdom and gloried in it, instead of giving glory to God, to the enemies of God. And he invited them to come into Jerusalem and have a look round. Look at me. Look at my royal court. Look at my servants. Look at the wealth. A little small nation, and yet look at us. And we've been preserved. Right from the beginning, from Moloch, I wasn't burned in the fire. And then Sennacherib. Do you remember Sennacherib? You know all about history now. Look what happened. 185,000. Our God preserved me. And he was filled with pride. And then he could have said, you know, and I was sick. And the Lord has added 15 years onto my life. Look at me. I'm a walking miracle. And when he did that, God's wrath was aggravated. And God could have, when he flaunted his wealth before the enemies of the Lord and gloried in material things, God could have taken him out. In fact, the Bible tells me God spared his life. God spared his life. So Hezekiah was favored of God, and he enjoyed the help and the blessing of God. Now, I'm going to split this one sermon into two, so I realize now I'll never get it finished, for under this details of his character, I have at least four more sub-points to make, but I'll not make them, but I'll stick with the one sub-point: he was honored. And I'll finish here. I want to say to you that his name suggests why he was honored, why he was preserved. The name Hezekiah is a beautiful name. It literally means strengthened by Jehovah, or helped to such a degree that you're made strong to live for Jehovah. That's the meaning of his name. And yet, his father was a wicked despot. Why would he have named his son Hezekiah? Well, I'll tell you, it wasn't his dad. It was his mother. His mother's name was Abijah, and I will preach on his mother Abijah. I will make reference to his mother and the influence she had. Her name meant, I quote, Abai, I know we have it here. It's just an abbreviation, a shortened version of her real name. And that is, my father is Jehovah. I am a child of the king. That's what her name meant. And I believe it was her mother, his mother, that influenced this child. It certainly could not have been Ahaz, his wicked father. It was his mother. And therefore, giving him the name Hezekiah, she wanted this young boy to grow up trusting in the Lord, having the help of God, the Lord, to strengthen him, to give him fortitude of mind and strength of courage and heart, in order that he might live in a wicked home and he might be preserved by the Lord. And Hezekiah could always remember his name and its meaning. And that is, it is one who is strengthened by Jehovah, one who gets help from God that literally empowers you to live the Christian life and to serve the Lord. Any wonder he was preserved? Any wonder he lived in victory most, if not all, of his life? And there are very few failings mentioned in Scripture, although we know he was a sinner. Now, can I remind you in closing that you are honored just like Hezekiah? You are honored just like Hezekiah. You may not bear his name, but you share in his privilege. You are one, if you're saved, who will be strengthened by Jehovah. You will be one who will be helped in order to persevere. You will be honored and protected by your God. You will be preserved by the Lord. You'll have a hedge of protection. You have nothing to fear. God is sovereign. You don't need to fear coronavirus. While you be certainly cautious, and you will be using wisdom, and you certainly will be employing the right regulations, and you'll be working hard to keep yourself safe and to minimize your risk. I know that. But you have no need to fear, for God will protect you, watch over you. And if it is his will, if it is his will to take me by coronavirus, then let the will of God be done, so long as I'm not being fatalistic, denying it, running about looking for it, or not caring or being careless. I'm saying to you, have nothing to fear. Nothing. Because the Lord will strengthen us. He will preserve. He will protect us. God will help you. That's what the name means. A child of God bearing this name. And in many ways you are a Hezekiah. Strengthened by the Lord. Helped so as to be strong, to persevere, and protected and preserved. Can I remind you that you will be upheld? You will have support. You will have comfort. And the Lord will keep you through every up and down of life and high and low. But the Lord says, and I quote the very words, and literally you could write the word Hezekiah over this verse in Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Isn't that what happened here in Hezekiah? The Lord was with him. Fear thou not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Hezekiah, I will help thee. Hezekiah, that's the name and that's the meaning of it. I will uphold thee. Hezekiah, that's exactly what you could write in there. I will uphold thee by the right hand of my righteousness. And he was honored because he belonged to the Lord. And the Bible tells me God strengthened him in order that he might persevere, be protected. And he was blessed and honored by God that he might live to please God because the Lord was with him and honored him by strengthening and helping him. Now you need that today. You need that encouragement. You need to keep your eyes on the Lord. You need to take the little word Hezekiah and just breathe that word. It's not a person you're thinking of here now. You're thinking of the meaning of the name. Just come to the Lord today and just say, Lord, Hezekiah, one whom the Lord strengthens, one whom the Lord helps so that you can be strong and faithful to God, even at either ends of a wickedness and a dynasty that was given over to idolatry. In the midst of it all was a godly man who was helped and strengthened by the Lord. We look at some other characteristics that are detailed concerning the life of Hezekiah. But first one, he was honored. And may God honor you today. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we do thank thee for the word of God. We thank thee for the beginning of this series in the life of Hezekiah. And we desire, Lord, to look into his life as it's taught and revealed in Scripture, that we might receive instruction. And already, Lord, we're beginning to learn something. And we just know that piece upon piece, brick upon brick, a tremendous edifice concerning the life and character of thine eminent servant Hezekiah will begin to, Lord, be built. And we pray, O God, we will build well. And that we will take each piece and each part and each brick and build it in our own hearts. That we might have the knowledge of who he was, what he did, and why the Lord honored and blessed him. We thank thee for preserving us. We thank thee, Lord, for watching over us and keeping us safe. We thank thee for strengthening us from the day we were saved. For helping us, being with us. And that will never change. Lord, I come. I just breathe the name, Hezekiah, one whom is strengthened by the Lord, who has helped that we might be strong to live for God. So hear our cry and bless the word to our hearts. In